All right. Welcome, everybody, to our group coaching call here, February 6, 2018. I'm glad you guys are here. It's good to be here. I don't think we had any pre-submitted questions. But as usual, we'll go ahead and get started with those. But at any time, you can raise your hand. All right, we do have one from Anthony. You can raise your hand by dialing *2 on your telephone keypad. *2, raise your hand. We can have a conversation. Of course, you can always type in your question if you're on the call page inside the training portal. Okay, so Anthony asks, I have an existing email class and case study I was going to use as a lead magnet. I'm curious if you guys have any suggestions on how or where to use those content assets now that I'll be using the new lead magnet and to email workflow. All right, so you have an existing I'm not sure I understand about the email class. I understand that you have a case study, but Anthony, I don't know if you're on today, if you can maybe clarify that for me. But let's just go into the assumption that you got a couple of assets that could make good lead magnets. Where and how to use them? Here's my suggestion. I would not try to kind of pick apart the campaign, if you will, that we've built for you, at least not yet. I would give this a really good run over the next few months and instead focus on feeding the machine, building those breadcrumb trails to that landing page so that you can get some traffic there and convert as much of that traffic as possible. Okay. Now, what you can do, though, in terms of leveraging these assets is use these as part of your nurturing activity. So either in one or both of your nurturing emails, go ahead and send a link to one or both of those when you're staying in touch with these unresponsive prospects. I will say, if you do that, it's important that there's congruency here between, you know, what you're trying to drive people to. In other words, what type of conversation do you want to have with people about what types of work and what these assets are about. So as long as it's congruent, I think it's fine. If it's not congruent, so for instance, if it's about email marketing, but you're trying to get some content strategy work or content marketing planning work, then that may not work. You know, people still connect the dots, but it might be way too out there. Now, you could still use them, even if you don't use them in one or both of those nurturing emails. You know, you want to still stay in touch with not-yet-ready prospects for a while. So my recommendation would be to still use them in your nurturing efforts, whether it's people who leads that you generate through this process or prospects you contact in your outbound efforts, so warm email prospecting and other types of outbound prospecting who are not yet ready but said, hey, I'm going to keep your information handy just in case, maybe in the future, then you could use these assets that say, you know, hey, Susan, thought I'd check in. I wanted to send you a link to a case study that I did on a client on, you know, blah, 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 whatever that might be. Hope you're doing well, right? So definitely use those kinds of assets there. And by the way, I should mention, since we're talking about that, that your lead magnet is a great lead nurturing asset as well for people whom you're nurturing outside of this process. So hopefully you're not relying on this for all of your marketing for this year and beyond. As we've talked about before, you got to have several things happening. But for those you're nurturing outside of the system, those are great assets to have to send as a, you know, stay in touch type vehicle. So yeah, but if you want to tell me more about that email class, I'm not sure. I must be misreading this, right? I'm not sure exactly what you mean by an email class. All right, so let me see. I think that was the only pre-submitted one. Yes. So we're open. It's an open flow right now. *2 if you have a question or need some feedback on anything or want to discuss anything from what we've been working on. We're we're here for you. And I know Crystal's here as well. So if you got any questions about ConvertKit or that process at all, we're here. And you know, Crystal, I'm gonna bring you on real quick while we're waiting for questions, because and I'm gonna put you on the spot. I didn't tell you I was gonna do this, but I know there's been some confusion as to you know, kind of the handoff with ConvertKit and so forth, and I forget exactly where that was, but do you want to talk a little bit about that and clarify some of this?
Sure. So we've refined our process a little bit just because after consulting with ConvertKit, a couple of the people that had kind of gone through the whole process had gotten, there was a couple stumbling blocks. So basically the process here is once you have completed and handed over the links that you need for the 9-word emails, and that's after you've gone through lesson 7 and after your lead magnet has been designed and approved, then we go ahead and set up ConvertKit. And it takes us about a week to do that. And when our team is done the whole process of getting all the web forms in place and all of that stuff, one of the things that needs to happen is we need to get your email confirmed. And so you'll get we'll change that in the system, and you'll get an email from ConvertKit saying, please confirm this address. That's a new step for us, because without doing that and handing things over to you, it was causing some logistical problems. So when you see that, when that happens, just go ahead and confirm. Don't worry, you don't have to do anything else until you hear from our team. But that solves a bunch of the weird issues. And one of those issues was, if you do run into trouble, once you have ConvertKit and you have questions and you want to reach out to the support team, it was going to the wrong people and everything else. This solves that, so that we get everything set up for you. If there's any issues, we reach out to ConvertKit support on your behalf. And then once everything is good and ready to go, then you have full control and you'll be able to access support or us as you need, and very clearly.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you for that, Crystal. So don't worry if that doesn't really make a lot of sense yet, if you're not at that point. But for those of you who are kind of getting there, just a heads up, and we'll send you this information, you know, when you get there. We'll explain, you know, all the steps and what to be on the lookout for. But wanted to give you a heads up in case you've recently gotten there or you're about to get to that point. All right. I see Joseph with his hand raised. Hey, Joseph, how are you?
Doing very well. Glad to be here. Thank you so much for putting the call on. More than anything, it's just keeping me on track to get the work done. I kind of understand what to do next. I just need that constant reminder and accountability to put it on the task list and do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. I find the same way when I'm in a similar situation. Just the call itself is kind of a, number one, a reminder, and two, mm-hmm. I kind of want to go, but I want to go and make some progress too, right? So
Yeah.
Good to
well,
hear
I do have a specific question. I noticed that MailChimp has been putting out new features, and I think it's because they're feeling the pressure from ConvertKit. So when you guys first laid out that, hey, we're going to use ConvertKit and we're going to create a ConvertKit account for you, and then you can get to try it out and then see how it works. Well, I've always used MailChimp before, and I'm very familiar with them. And then now they've got this landing page feature, which looks like something that ConvertKit was doing before. It kind of gave them that edge, you know? So my question now is, with MailChimp kind of copying the feature set of ConvertKit, and they do have a lower price point for guys like me that's very, very attractive, is there any advantage to using ConvertKit over MailChimp, since they're copying these features and I'm already familiar with them?
It's a good question. So this has all been very new. And Crystal, mm-hmm. Any thoughts from your side? I got a couple of minor things, but
so
what would you say?
I haven't explored their landing pages myself, but if they match ConvertKit's web forms and landing pages, which I know they did a really great job. MailChimp does a really great job on web forms. Then I say, by all means, use what you're comfortable with. We chose, and I'll let Ed go on, but we chose ConvertKit from all of the competitors that were out there when we were exploring the program and what we've set up for our clients because of the landing pages. It was the only one that really had a great support for that. As far as the rest of the CRM, I think it's quite on par. There's two things that you're missing, though. ConvertKit does a fantastic job with the tagging. You know, from as a MailChimp user, but I'm just going to share this with everybody else who's listening. MailChimp doesn't do it that way. So the machine that we set up for you, you can absolutely like replicate that mostly in MailChimp, and you could use that service. But the ease of tagging people and moving them around is not so simple. So as long as you know how to use it, I don't see a barrier.
Okay.
Yeah, so that where I was going to go is with the tagging, because I see that that's still not quite. Crystal, don't they use kind of a similar approach as AWeber?
They do. They're actually
a
little.
Segmentation?
Honestly, their segmentation is quite, in my opinion, clunky. If you're using it simply, it's not too bad. But when you want to, AWeber is even easier for segmentation than a MailChimp. So. Like in ConvertKit, again, Joseph, I'm kind of making this for everybody, but if you wanted somebody to be a part of your newsletter that you launched that had opted into this specific form, all you have to do is tag them and create that segment, and it's done. With MailChimp, you have to copy that list over to another list, and you can still do it, but it's just not as clear, and the metrics, I find it more clunky. I'm not saying don't use it at all, but if you're considering changing to MailChimp and you're not using it, it wouldn't make sense. If their system makes sense to you, I wouldn't say no, but especially now that they have the landing pages.
Yeah.
Well, that's really what I was looking for. I knew that before ConvertKit had that huge advantage of having the landing pages, because I was using complex, like Frankenstein's monster, where I'd go to lead pages to do my landing pages, and then I'd have MailChimp to do my email management, and I had to find ways to make them all talk to each other and get all the integrations right, and it was a huge headache. I hated it. It took up so much time just making sure every system talked to each other. But now that the landing pages are there on MailChimp, I needed to know, okay, what are some features I'm not thinking about? And I see what you mean by the kind of the list-centric approach of MailChimp. That has been an issue in the past, not a big one, but I have noticed that. Thank you for bringing that up.
The other thing, too, just as I'm thinking through it, Joseph, is as you grow, or if you know, the simpler the business, the minor differences they're not big. The contrast isn't there. But as you grow and maybe want to integrate with e-commerce systems or things like that, my personal opinion is that ConvertKit is going to be easier to use and segment. Like, so if somebody becomes a client, you can tag them as a client and remove them from promotional things. MailChimp, you can buy add-ons and you could do a bunch of things to move them out as well. But it's just, it's not as fresh of an approach. ConvertKit is really, when I say fresh, it's more modern. MailChimp and AWeber and some of the others have been around for a long time, and they're trying to adapt to catch up to some of these newcomers. But ConvertKit and ActiveCampaign, to me, are very closely related, and a lot of people will use them together. And so when we're looking at that, MailChimp, I feel, it's doable, but maybe not as easy.
Thank you for that kind of future perspective. That's really what I want to know. I price is important to me, but what's more important is that I'm setting up systems that will grow with me that are still within, you know, the budget range of my business. You know, I don't want to spend a lot of effort and resources into a platform that won't allow me to grow in other ways down the road.
Yeah, that's a great point. And by the way, just to kind of make that a little bit more real, what Crystal was saying in terms of, you know, e-commerce and all that, let me give you a really practical example. Let's say, and we encourage you to do this, by the way, once you feel comfortable with the system, let's say that you have a hole in your calendar. You had a big project about to start, and it got put on hold. And it's going to happen, but it's going to be at least another month. And you had reserved that time. Now you have this, right, this hole in your calendar, and like, man, you know, that's unused productivity or production time. So, you know, you could, when with ConvertKit, just go ahead and send an email to all your prospects and clients except for, let's say, the ones you're currently working for, and say that you have this hole in your calendar. And you know, you have an opportunity if somebody's got something they've been meaning to contact you about. So that kind of segmenting comes in really handy when you want to do something like that, when you've been doing experimenting with a productized service with a few clients, and now you want to roll it out, and you want to exclude those who have already taken advantage of it. Those sorts of things become a heck of a lot easier, and that's a great example of, you know, when the e-commerce piece, we're not necessarily talking about, you know, traditional e-commerce, we're just talking about when you want to be smart about your promotions and campaigns if you choose to do those.
And our specific experience in what Ed was saying, just so that Aweber made that very, very difficult, what he just explained. You can do it easier in something like MailChimp or some of the others, but we feel that ConvertKit makes that process completely simple.
Well, I like simple. So I really appreciate you guys sharing your experience and the difference there, because I've come to the place where I have allowed my inbound strategy to just come to a grinding halt. I haven't done anything in like a year with it. And so I'm kind of at a kind of a place where I need to kickstart it again. And it's a good time to switch platforms. So I just wanted to hear your perspective. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, I'm glad Joseph, you asked.
I wanted to add on that too, Joseph. If you want to migrate your list for MailChimp over to ConvertKit, and you want any help with that, we offer that to everyone when we set up the ConvertKit too. So throw me an email, and we can puzzle. I can get you the details of that anytime.
Awesome. Thank you.
You bet.
All right, so star two, if you have a question or want to talk through anything. Melissa says, yes, these calls are a great nudge and reminder for me too. Hope you'll keep them going past February 20th. Following up on someone else's earlier question today, do you suggest putting a link or URL for our lead magnet in our social media bios? Absolutely. So, and you'll see more of this, Melissa, when you get to this point. But in the lesson 9, which is the last session, we're releasing it once you have your ConvertKit in place. I teach you all the different things you could do to drive the right kind of traffic to that landing page. And I do it in kind of a very specific pecking order based on how easy it is to do. So the first category is what I call low-hanging fruit. And putting that link in your social media bios and profiles and so forth, that definitely falls in the low-hanging fruit category. These are things that, you know, won't necessarily give you all kinds of traffic and generate all kinds of leads, but it doesn't take much effort to do, right? So might as well do them, and you will get traffic that way, and you will get leads. So, yeah, you know, think of it this way. Any opportunity to put that offer out there, to put that link out there, is probably a good idea. Right? You're trying to put all these magnets out there, all these feelers, and leave all those breadcrumbs that all lead to your landing page. So, yeah, absolutely. In terms of calls, you know, Crystal and I haven't talked, but, you know, we're definitely scheduled past February 20th right now. We got the 20th, Oh, I guess that was the last one that was pre-scheduled already. So we got to look at the March schedule, but you know, if you guys feel that this is helpful, then you know, I'm very open to continuing these a little bit longer. So just let us know. You know, shoot Crystal an email. Let us know what you think. I don't want to do these if you don't think you'll get something out of them. If you know, you think you're past this point, but if it's helpful. You know, again, guys, our motivation here is not only to give you some great results, but selfishly to develop some great case studies out of this. So we want you to be successful. Okay, so Anthony just sent me and Melissa also followed up. And on business cards, too, yes. So same idea, right? Anywhere where you can promote that lead magnet. Absolutely. In fact, one of the things that I recommend, Melissa, is they're completely up to you, but I've done this very successfully. If you know you're going to go to a very specific event that's very rich with potential prospects, I think it's worth spending, you know, the $50 or whatever it's going to be to print a small batch of business cards that are focused on your lead magnet. So rather than the typical business card, which is like your headshot or your logo, and then your name real big, and your title or the name of your business, and then your contact information, and maybe a tagline. Instead, highlight your lead magnet. You know, here's a kind of a thumbnail image. You could get fancy with it if you wanted to, but you don't have to have, you know, a cover image. But I think that really is very eye-catching. And then just the title of it. Right, and then you know, download the free cheat sheet here, and then make your other information kind of secondary, right? So really call attention to the lead magnet, and you know, when you're at an event and people are collecting business cards, even though, I mean, business cards have definitely come down in terms of popularity, but you got a stack of them. Those really stand out. Number one, not only because they're different, but also because they have something else of value rather than a contact information. They have a valuable cheat sheet or checklist or process map or whatever it's going to be. So and then make it specific to that conference. So it's, you know, again, it's $50 or whatever it's going to be. It's well worth, you know, if you generate 3-4 leads and one of them ends up turning into a client, I mean, that's great ROI. All right, let's see. Anthony says, hi, Andy Crystal. I have an existing email course and also a case study I was going to use as lead magnets before working with you guys. I'm curious if you guys had any suggestions. Oh, yeah. Okay, so Anthony, you may have come in a little late. I saw your question in the Facebook forum. I answered it first thing in the call. And what I said was, in terms of how to use them, you could use, if it makes sense, if it's congruent with the topic of your lead magnet and what the type of work you're trying to get from your prospects, you could use them in your nurturing emails within this campaign. So, you know, you got two nurturing emails in this process, and you could use one and then the other back to back. I'm getting the feeling that they're not going to be congruent. Maybe the case study is, but not the email course, because I know the topic of your lead magnet was about content marketing planning. So in that case, then I would not use it. But if you feel that this would be relevant to your prospects, then you could use it as an asset when staying in touch and nurturing not yet ready prospects outside of this campaign or once this campaign is over. So, for instance, if you're doing warm email prospecting and you're doing other marketing things, networking and so forth, then for prospects who are not ready to engage with you right now, you want to nurture those every 8 weeks or so, depending on what's going on there, the particulars about that prospect. And that could be something you send them, you know, in one of those nurturing touch points. So, you know, I think with all these assets, there's all kinds of ways you could use them. And that goes for your lead magnet as well, the one, you know, we created for you. You could use that as one of your touch points for prospects you've engaged outside of this campaign. Obviously, the ones who already have it, because you generate it through this campaign, don't send that to them again. But anybody else who said through, let's say, a warm email prospecting effort, thank you, Anthony, don't have anything right now, but I'll keep you in mind for the future, then, you know, when you touch base with them again, instead of saying, hey, got anything, send them a quick email. You know, hey, Jill, wanted to check in. I wanted to send you a copy of this case study that I wrote up recently on one of my clients and how I helped them do X. Hope you're doing well. Right? So that's another great way you can use those. Okay. So again, star two if you have a question or need any kind of feedback. And while I'm waiting, start thinking about all your marketing assets that way. You know, any content you've created, whether it's an article, blog post, report, video, audio, anything like that, you know, just kind of go through your hard drive and compile a list of everything you've created that's still relevant and ask yourself, how can I repurpose this in the way of format or in terms of combining it with other things or changing the medium? There are many different ways you could use this content, and one of the great underused aspects of this is the nurturing, lead nurturing. Nurturing and not yet ready prospects gives you a very nice library of things you could send to your prospects just to stay in touch. And many times it also gives you content that you can repurpose in your newsletter, which I encourage everyone to launch once they're comfortable with ConvertKit and have this thing going. One of the nice things about having this in place is, guess what? If you didn't have an ESP in place before, you do now. So we've taken probably the biggest stumbling block about launching a newsletter and removed that. So now it's a matter of getting your newsletter out there. The infrastructure is in place. All right, so I don't see any questions, any raised hands. Last call. I just want to make sure I don't miss anybody. All right. Looks like that is it for today. Great questions. I appreciate you guys being here. So we'll have our next call here on the 20th, and then we welcome any feedback. If you find these calls valuable, if you want us to continue for a few more weeks, we're certainly open to that. Again, we want to help you guys out. We want you to be successful. Send Crystal an email. Let her know with any feedback, whether it's yay or nay. And we'll be in touch with you guys on, you know, continuing these conversations. Otherwise, we'll talk again real soon. You guys take care. Have a great rest of the week.